I'm Roman Yossi of the Nashville Predators.
I'm Matt Duchesne of the Nashville Predators.
I'm Eustace Aros of the Nashville Predators.
I'm Ryan Johansson of the Nashville Predators.
You're listening to the Renegades of Puck
with Crazy Charlie.
Welcome to the Bunker. Welcome to the Renegades of Puck podcast. I'm your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Sonny. And before we get started on the No Half Step and Hockey coverage, let me direct you to our home website, renegadesofpuck.com. Once you go to renegadesofpuck.com, you learn everything you need to know about the show. Once you're good and educated about the show, click on that merchandise tab. It's going to take you straight to our classic logo t-shirt, old school, our pride logo t-shirt, all of our different special event t-shirts, the Last One to Die t-shirt line, which is our newest one, and they look so good in the store. Check those out today. And all the gimmicks you've come to know and love and expect from the Renegades Puck still completely available in our online store. Socks, throw pillows, wall art, bed sets. Whether you're trying to outfit your entire body or your entire living space, we have the gimmicks for you. Easiest to say it, we've sold out so that you can buy in, and we sure would appreciate if you would pick up some of that merchandise today. Social media is of critical importance to this independent hockey operation, so listen up, Renegades. Here's how you can help support the cause. Please go to TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, or even Twitter. Give us a like, give us a follow, give us a subscription. And speaking of subscriptions, YouTube. Appreciate all of the new subscribers. Thank you so much. And I also appreciate you turning on those notifications. Our play counts are up. Our subscriber count is up. And that is directly due to you Renegades out there and your hard work and determination to help this show grow and become bigger than it ever has before. So thank you so much. YouTube is well over 200 episodes now of Renegades of Puck TV, and coming up on our 2-year anniversary of starting the video version of the podcast. We'll have a special commentary on that coming up here in just about a week's time. You can also listen to the audio perversion of the podcast, and you can find that virtually everywhere thanks to the Full Press Hockey Network. We sure to appreciate everyone behind the scenes at Full Press Coverage for taking care of the show and getting us on the air and in front of more Renegades than ever before. Stick taps, love and respect to every one of you. A couple of examples: if you'd like to check out the show in audio form, you can do it on Google, Spotify, Stitcher, and Amazon, several others as well. Again, we sure to appreciate everybody over at Full Press for all the hard work that they are doing. Venmo is how you can help support the show financially. Please scan the QR code and you can make a donation right there. Any dollar you donate goes a long way to helping the Renegades of Puck, and it goes directly to the Renegades of Puck. No middlemen here. We're trying to make some upgrades now as we're getting into the hotter months. As you can see, we could use a little bit of ventilation out here in the bunker, and we also are trying to upgrade and speed up our processors and our computer system and our network and everything behind the scenes to help get the show out in an even faster, more efficient manner than we already are. We're doing a good job, but there are certainly areas we can make improvement, and Venmo is how you can help us make those improvements. Now listen, I know it's time for No Half Step in Hockey coverage, and it's getting hot already, so let's get to the goods. It's time for operation number 770. That's right, show number 770. And at this moment in hockey history, unfortunately for the Milwaukee Admirals, we will not be previewing Game 7 of the Western Conference Finals. The season has come to a conclusion for the Milwaukee Admirals. After Game 6, the Admirals fell by a score of 4-3 in Coachella Valley, falling in the series 4-2, recapping the entirety of the series by score. Game 1 was Coachella Valley winning in Coachella Valley by a score of 6-4, taking a 1-0 lead in the series. Game 2 was Coachella Valley winning 5-3, taking a 2-0 lead in the series. Then when the series shifted back to Milwaukee, it was the Admirals picking up a 3-1 victory, getting back in the series, making a 2-1 in favor of Coachella Valley. And then Game 4, the Admirals would win again 5-2, evening the series up. And that 2-2 in Game 5, though, the Admirals looked like they had a stranglehold after 20, but after 60, they fell 2-1 and also down 3-2 in the series. And now, after Game 6, they have lost the best of 7 series, 4-2. Game 6's final score was, of course, 4-3. We'll go over each and every detail, painful as that may be, and we'll also talk about the analysis of Game 6, and we'll start to wrap the season, but this will not be our official season wrap-up. So that means the Coachella Valley Firebirds in their first season will now move on to face off against the Hershey Bears. Game 1 of the Calder Cup Finals, Hershey defeated Rochester in 6 as well. By the way, the score in the Rochester and Hershey series after 6, the total goal scored 13 for each team. Over in the Western Conference, a little bit more scoring through 6 as Coachella Valley scored 20 goals and Milwaukee Admirals scored 18 goals in the series. So the Calder Cup Final is set between Coachella Valley and Hershey, and it's going to take place on the 8th of June will be Game 1, where Hershey will be in Coachella Valley. Game 2 will be on June the 10th, also in Coachella Valley. Switch back to Hershey for the next 3 on June the 13th, June the 15th, and June the 17th, if necessary. back to Coachella Valley for the 19th and the 21st of June. So only potentially 7 games left in the AHL season to determine the Calder Cup champion. Now we will pivot and focus on the Milwaukee Admirals the rest of this show, and then we will come back with one more Admirals themed episode where we will recap the season and the Calder Cup playoff run as it was. But let me start by finishing out some of the information on the season. Matter of fact, I think the best way to do it would be to go ahead and save all of the updated stats and all of the updated information. We'll just save that since we don't have a game preview for part of the analysis, part of the box score discussion. And I think maybe the best thing to do would just be to flip it straight over to the Rebirth Sports full game recap. We'll start from there. We'll work our way out and we'll get all the analysis. Brian Baston is also going to be in the trenches here in a matter of moments. So we'll table this sheet for a couple of minutes and we'll come back right after this very, very short break with the Rebirth Sports full game recap.
Hockey players are as unique as the game itself, and your uniform should be tailored to fit you. Rebirth Sports is your sports apparel tailor. From shells, bags, warm-ups, hats, hoodies, branding, and more, let Rebirth Sports be your custom hockey tailor.
And don't forget to tell them they do more than just hockey.
Rebirth Sports on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Rebirth Sports, a match made in hockey.
It's now time for the Rebirth Sports full game recap. We go all the way back to June the 5th of the year 2023 when the Milwaukee Admirals were in Coachella Valley to take on the Firebirds in Game 6 of the Western Conference Final Best of 7 series. 37 seconds into the game, it is Joey DeCord coming up with a save on Ratcliffe. First shot on goal of the game in 57 seconds. Cooley comes up with a save on True, his first touch of the game, and it's a clean one. 2:33 of the first period, Cooley comes up with a save on Twaronski at 4:37. Cooley, another save on Rafferty. 5-minute mark, Cooley a save on Paul Roski's breakaway. Coachella Valley is just simply dominating over the course of the first 5 minutes of this game, and they are feeding off of that packed house and very lively crowd. 7:31 of the first period, it's True coming up with the sixth goal of the playoffs, giving Coachella Valley a 1-0 lead over Milwaukee. It was a wrist shot from the low circle, and already the Admirals finding themselves behind in a do-or-die elimination game. 8:33 of the first period, DeCord comes up with a save on Ratcliffe. 9:18, DeCord a save on Ratcliffe again, this time closer range, closes the five hole and turns that shot aside. 10:49, DeCord a save on Afanasyev. At 11:41, DeCord a save on McEwen. The Admirals punching back now on the road in the first period. 11:44, Wichos off the box. 2 minutes for a cross check and give the Milwaukee Admirals the first power play of the game. It would be a strong PK though by Coachella Valley, and gaining momentum off of that strong penalty kill at 14:19 just after it expires. Evans third goal of the playoffs would give Coachella Valley a 2-0 lead over the Milwaukee Admirals as Evans slipped behind the D for the backdoor finish, found just enough quiet ice and just enough room to finish easily. 2-0 in favor of Coachella Valley. We go to 16:55 of the first period. That's where Rafferty is off the box. 2 minutes for hooking Admirals with another opportunity on the power play. It's DeCord coming up with a save on Philip Tomasino, then another save on Sherwood, plus the follow-up by Jankowski. We hit the end of the first period. Admirals down by 2 and being outshot by Coachella Valley 13-10. We go into the second period on the clean sheet, 22 seconds in, and it's Joey DeCord coming up with a save on Gravel at 1:50 of the second period. McCarron's fourth goal of the playoffs gets Milwaukee on the board. He finds the loose puck and he finishes. He's able to get there first. Kemmel was unable to complete the scoring opportunity, and it's McCarron following the play that finds the loose puck, jams it into the net, and it is Milwaukee on the board now, down 2-1 to Coachella Valley early in the second period. 3:11 of the second period, DeCord comes up with a save on Angelo off of the rush. 3:44, DeCord another save, this time off Tomasino. 4:50, a save off of Sherwood with the blocker. But at 6 minutes, with Milwaukee seeming to get all the pressure, suddenly Coachella gets one shot, and it's by Karche, and it's into the back of the net. His fourth goal of the playoffs gives Coachella Valley a 3-1 lead. It was a rebound wraparound conversion. Nobody was able to cut him off as he was going behind the net. He got just enough space in front of the defender, and that reach, he's able to put the puck into the net for his fourth of the playoffs, giving Coachella Valley a 2-goal lead here in the second period. 8:28 of the second, DeCord comes up with a save on Kemmel. 9:34, Cooley a save on Wicho. 14:17, back and forth between the circles for about 5 minutes right there before DeCord comes up with another save on Kemmel at 16:04. Sanford off the box, 2 minutes for slashing, and this was just an outstanding penalty kill by the Milwaukee Admirals, as it has been for the majority of the Calder Cup playoffs. We at the end of the second period, and it is the Admirals just having a dominant shot performance in the second period, going from 10 in the first to 24 at the end of the the second. Coachella Valley goes from 13 at the end of the first to only 16 at the end of the second. So 14-3 are your shots on goal in the second period, but the score in the second was 1-1. So the Firebirds managed to keep even with the Admirals and keep their two-goal lead. Going into the third period, 2:28 into the third period, initially credited to Willsby with his third goal of the season, later changed to Afanasyev. It was an aerial deflection, or at least it appeared to be, in the low slot. Afanasyev would get the lob shot, credited to him as the goal a little bit later in the official goal scoring. So Afanasyev at 2:28 makes the game 3-2 in favor of Coachella Valley, the Admirals cutting the lead. That 4:10 of the third period, Thompson's off the box, 2 minutes for high, sticking Cooley, covered with a save on McCormick, but then there's Karche again, his second goal of the game, his fifth of the playoffs, a finish from the slot after a setup from the goal line, the low-high play working out well for the Firebirds in this situation. 7:49 of the third period, Jankowski's off the box, 2 minutes for high, sticking, you see an outstanding PK and gaining momentum off of that penalty kill at 11:15 of the third period to be sure what's for goal of the playoffs. That comes as a deflection of Del Geizo's shot at the top of the crease. That would make it 4-3 now in favor of Coachella Valley. So Milwaukee chipping away, needing one more and still having almost half a period to go. 12:03 of the third period, DeCourt comes with a save on Evangelista. 15:22, DeCourt comes with a save on McEwen. We go to the empty net scenario at the 17:24 mark of the third period. At 18:51, Pittman picks up a penalty. 2 minutes closing the hand on the puck during a faceoff. Admirals, glorious opportunity with the 6-on-4 power play opportunity. DeCord would grab the loose puck and shoot it for the empty net. It would trickle just wide, but an effective time killer as the Firebirds players would get down there and jam the puck up just simply by laying on top of it for a large stretch of time till they would finally get the faceoff. Very limited time left. DeCord comes up with a save on Kemmel as the Admirals were looking for Kemmel as the buzzer was approaching, looking for the hot hand to take the big shot. Unfortunately, unable to convert. And it's Coachella Valley with the 4-3 victory on home ice and winning the series in 6 games, 4-2. Milwaukee outshoots Coachella Valley 32-21 in this game. So Coachella Valley goes from 13 shots on goal at the end of the first period to only 21 at the end of the game. So only 8 shots over the final 2 periods, but they are able to collect enough goals to keep themselves in the victory column, and they win the series in their first year in the AHL. They are moving on to compete for the Calder Cup against one of the more well-known and historic franchises in AHL history, the Hershey Bears. It is definitely going to be an interesting best of seven series, and I anticipate it's going to be some very, very good hockey. The Coachella Valley Firebirds absolutely fought their way through the entirety of the Western Conference. The Pacific Division first round, defeating Tucson and 3 games in the Pacific Division semifinals, defeating Colorado in 5 games, the Pacific Division finals, defeating Calgary in 5 games, and now the Pacific or the Western Conference final, defeating the Milwaukee Admirals in 6 games. So the only series for Coachella that did not require the full length of games, and for the Coachella Valley Firebirds, who finished 48-17-5-2 with 103 points, second in the Pacific, they will now represent the Western Conference as champions and will now go on to compete for the Calder Cup. For the Admirals, they simply just could not overcome the difficulties of playing in Coachella Valley, playing on the road. They went 0-3 in Coachella Valley in the series, losing every one of those games. And frankly, other than this game, it wasn't truly very close at any point in time. The Admirals, when they played in Coachella Valley, whether it was the size of the crowd, whether it was the exuberance of the crowd, whether it was the heightened play of the Firebirds, I don't know exactly what it was, but it led to a mix of the Admirals not truly looking like themselves out there in Coachella Valley, and they dropped all 3 of those games in the series, and that's why now they find themselves at home, not competing for the Calder Cup against the Hershey Bears. That is going to do it. That's the final Rebirth Sports full game recap of the season for the Nashville Predators organization. Of course, we pivoted from Predators to Admirals. A salute. It has been tremendous fun covering the Admirals in their Calder Cup playoff run. Unfortunately, we will have to pivot back to Nashville Predators coverage. There's been a coaching change. We've got awards. We've got a draft coming up here in Nashville. We've got a lot of things coming up here in the next couple of weeks. But that's going to do it for the final Rebirth Sports full game recap of the year. Stick taps, love, and respect to everybody at Rebirth Sports. Sure to appreciate Doug Green and everything he does to help the show out here. As a matter of fact, I'll be emailing Doug after the show to thank him for another season of sponsorship here on the Renegades of Puck podcast, and also to put in another jersey order for some ROP Hockey Club jerseys. So that's going to do it for the Rebirth Sports full game recap. We do still have analysis, box score, stats, and so much more coming up. Plus Brian Bastin right here on the Renegades of Puck podcast.
Hello, hello, hello. I'm Tracy, owner-operator of Strong Style Fitness. And that's me and my training assistant, Rizzo. And we are here to bring you fitness that meets you where you are by offering circuit classes, bar-inspired classes, Tabata workouts, boot camps, guided stretching, and more, all taught by a certified personal trainer, me. To learn more, go to our website, strongstylefit.com. Subscribe on YouTube at Strong Style Fitness. Follow on social media at Strong Style Fit. But most importantly, let's get you moving. It doesn't matter if it's your first workout or you've been doing it for years. Strong Style Fitness has the workout that meets you on your journey and helps you along the path to a happier, healthier life. I understand where you've been, what you are going through, and where you are going, and I want to take you there. We'll see you on the mat.
Mwah. Devin Cooley in game six, 17 out of 21. And you know what? Just simply not his best game. Of the games that he had the opportunity to start in this series, just simply wasn't the best game that he was able to put up. Cooley went 2-2 in the playoffs in relief for Askarov, who did not fare completely well in the series against Coachella. Either 9-16 save percentage for Cooley, 2.29 goals against average, 98-107. He gave up 9 goals against. The support wasn't as strong in front. A couple of the goals were plays where either defenders or forwards or the benefit of a stick check would have gone a long way to helping Cooley prevent those pucks from going in the net. But overall, not his best game. Nobody for the Admirals played particularly great in Coachella Valley in any of the three games that they were there. But Cooley, in relief, did get the Admirals back in the series. And for a lot of people wondering what the future is for Devin Cooley, well, right now, and we'll discuss this at much greater length on the next episode, Yaroslav Askarov is in need of more seasoning and more time at the AHL level. This has been made obvious and clear by this Calder Cup playoff run, and a veteran like Devin Cooley could go a long way to helping him. It's obvious they have a tremendous relationship as teammates and as co-workers, so I anticipate they will be kept together in a platoon-type situation moving into next season. But Cooley certainly came off the bench and answered the bell and got the Admirals back in the series, just unable to get them over the hump and win the series. Kemmel, here's a bright spot I want to talk about from this game. He picked up an assist and had 6 shots on goal. And here's the most important thing that I made the notation of. When the game was on the line, when the Admirals needed one player to take one shot, they were looking for the rookie. The rookie who played almost as many games in the playoffs as he did in the regular season here in North America. They were looking for Kemmel to take that shot at the end. And they should. Kemmel ended up leading the team in goals with 8 in the playoffs, plus 2 assists for 10 total points. But they were looking for Kemmel to take that snipe at the end of the game. There's no doubt about that. And that is a very, very high praise and high piece of respect from the rest of his teammates. The defense knew it as well. Kemmel is a sniper. Now, more seasoning, more time at the AHL level is exactly what he will need next year. But I anticipate that Kemmel will be one of the premier scorers for the Milwaukee Admirals next season, and perhaps get a little bit of time at the NHL level, depending on how things go. Injuries and such are always going to be the key to those types of call-ups, as you saw this year. Half of the Milwaukee Admirals that got called up were not anticipated or expected to play significant time at the NHL level, but because of the trades, because of the dismantling of the Predators, and because of the injuries, many of the Milwaukee Admirals were able to gain 10, 15, 20 plus games of experience at the NHL level. Kemmel could find himself in that spot next season, but I think he's going to be a dominant force at the AHL level and was a dominant force. And when you're looking to the rookie to take the big shot at the end, you know he is a very special player. Sherwood with a goal and 4 shots on goal. Just relentless pursuit until the end. I'm very much looking forward to seeing what Sherwood can do in training camp for the Nashville Predators. He is a puck hunter. He is a high motor guy, nonstop energy, and he competes with a relentless and almost reckless pursuit up until the very end of every shift and the end of every game, and in this case, the end of the series. Truly a treat to watch Sherwood's development from where he started with the Nashville Predators at the very beginning of the season to going back to Milwaukee, going back up to Nashville, back to Milwaukee, charting that roller coaster ride and seeing how he handled it. He continued to show improvement each and every step of the way, even as he was being fluctuated in his role and which level of the leagues he was playing. And so Sherwood, a real treat to watch his relentless pursuit till the very end. Philip Tomasino picked up an assist in this game. And I have to say, I buried Philip Tomasino in the previous two rounds, so I have to give him some credit right here. Tomasino ends up finishing with 2 goals and 7 assists for 9 points in the playoffs after being virtually invisible for the first two rounds. So overall, a decent series for Philip Tomasino. Do I wish he could have done more? Do I wish he could have thrown the Admirals on his back and carried them over the Coachella Valley Firebirds and into the Calder Cup final? Of course, I wish he could have done that. But for Philip Tomasino, this is probably his last action at the AHL level. Now time to start focusing on what he can do at the NHL level. And there's no doubt in my mind that one day Philip Tomasino will wear a letter at the NHL level. I think that his leadership by example is absolutely on display on a regular basis. Just disappointing the first two series of these playoffs as far as his offensive production. But Philip Tomasino, a strong series against Coachella Valley and a strong hockey player overall. Good to see him wrapping up his time with the Admirals. And you know what? Overpowered by the Firebirds. 0-3 in Coachella Valley. And Joey Decord at home, money. Joey Decord on the road looks like he is on marbles out there. He looks like he is having difficulties tracking the puck, getting rebounds under control, making basic saves. But on home ice, I don't know if it's the amount of pre-printed out signs that the promotions team hands out for Coachella Valley. I don't know what it is, but Joey Decord on home ice is money. The Coachella Valley Firebirds on home ice are absolute money. 11,000 plus at the rink for them, money. I'll just keep saying the word money. For the AHL, this is a great moment for them. I anticipate ticket sales will be huge. That will be a very high demand ticket, probably making the Coachella Valley Firebirds in the league a lot of money. The Hershey Bears are always a team that is highly attended. The historical precedence that they have in the AHL, one of the most well-known AHL franchises in the league's history, now taking on one of the newest, hottest, and brightest franchises in the AHL. And for the Seattle Kraken, whose development team this is, great job by them as an organization. They made a run in the NHL playoffs, now making a run at the AHL level. It is incredible. You got to give them the credit. In the best of seven series format, the better team always wins. In a one game setup, you never know what can happen, and either team could win and anything can go wrong. In a best of seven series, the better team always wins. Coachella Valley was better in the regular season, and they were better in this series over the Milwaukee Admirals. The Admirals were very close to taking a 3-2 lead in game five. Now they end up losing the series 4-2. That's the weird thing about a 7-game series and losing in 6. You're right there in game 5. One play, one goal difference, and you're taking a series lead. Other than that, suddenly you find yourself out after game 6 and you've lost 4-2, and it seems like you've gotten blown out in the series when you were just right there in game 5. Overpowered by the Firebirds. Now, good luck to the Firebirds against the Bears in the conference, in the final Calder Cup final, best of 7, that'll get started here in the next couple of days. So the Firebirds proved to be the better team in the Western Conference. The Admirals, though, don't take anything away from them, made one hell of a run this year. A bunch of rookies involved. They had a lot of their lineup up in Nashville for a big portion of the season, and they still managed to find themselves in second place, and they still managed to do quite a bit of damage against Manitoba and against the Texas Stars, and even against Coachella Valley, winning 2 games in the conference final. That's going to do it for my portion of the analysis for this game, but you know, we've got so much more coming up. We're going to talk a little bit about the Admirals at large, and then we're going to preview what's coming up here with the podcast. But first, got to get to Brian Baston. Brian Baston got the charts you need to see, the numbers you need to know from onthefourcheck.com. Here he is, the one and only Brian Baston.
Unfortunately, the Milwaukee Admirals fell tonight in a game that was really never close despite the score, falling 4-3 in Game 6 to the Coachella Valley Firebirds, thus ending their season and putting the wraps on, well, the whole Nashville Predators organization's season from 2022 to 2023. Now, the Milwaukee Admirals are, they've got to be disappointed, and the potential of this team was something truly, you know, exciting. This seemed like a team that was built to compete, not just for the Western Conference, but for the Calder Cup. And, you know, things didn't fall their way, but they were a resilient team who was even more strapped for talent throughout their season than Nashville was, since Nashville was the one taking all of their players. But both teams, I think, have a lot to be proud of. But again, here at the Renegades Analytics Desk, I usually like to throw some numbers at you, but tonight we might just talk a little bit more about vibes. And let me tell you, folks, and I've said this before, the vibes are pretty good right now. Now, yes, there's a lot of things that are going to have to happen. We're only a few weeks away from the NHL draft, where Barry Trotz and Andrew Brunette now are going to take this team in an entirely new direction that has never been seen in the history of the franchise. The Milwaukee Admirals, there's a good chance that we might have seen Carl Taylor coach his last game with the Milwaukee Admirals. And if that's true, the man deserves a job and deserves the success that comes with it, because he's done nothing but help not just the Admirals, but this organization as a whole. Remember, he coached a game for Nashville. I don't know if y'all remember that, but he did coach a game. But the future is bright for Nashville, for Milwaukee, for a future ECHL affiliate that may or may not be named this offseason. The future is really bright. 13 picks in the draft, which that's really cool. That's a lot of fun. There's a lot of options, a lot of trade possibilities, things like that. But a lot of it will just be some exciting young stars. And exciting young stars is exactly what we here in Smashville are going to get treated to here in the next few years. We're going to see guys like Luca Pangelista, Kiefer Sherwood. We're going to see Jordan Gross on the defense. We'll see Alex Carrier continue to prove me wrong, since I said that I didn't think he was NHL ready about 4 years ago. We're going to see Joachim Kamel come in and just hopefully dominate the NHL like he's dominated the AHL, you know, this season since he's come over to North America. There's so much young talent. There's guys like UC Saros. He is relatively young. We have a captain in Roman Josi who doesn't seem to want to slow down in his career. He just wants to get better every single year. We've seen historic seasons from guys like Matt Duchene and Philip Forsberg. There's a lot to be excited about in Nashville, and, you know, it's new beginnings. I know so many fans have been frustrated the last few years, but that's to be expected when you go and make a miracle run to the Cup, and all of a sudden the fan base is bigger, the games are more exciting. There's a lot more at stake because we all believe that Nashville had a championship-quality NHL franchise, and folks, that's still true. It may take a year, it may take 4 years, who knows? But Nashville's a good team and will be a very good team very soon, I think. And so, yes, the Admirals, they did lose, and things are going to be changed. It's a big state of transition. Just because Nashville, they've made so many changes, that's going to trickle down, and that's going to affect Milwaukee, too. And so these teams may look completely different. But you know what? We got so used to a lot of the same guys over the last 4 or 5 years, a lot of the same players. We've seen players we all love leave the Predators, guys like Ryan Ellis, Matthias Ekholm, like Elli Tolvanen, for example. But I think we're going to have a whole lot of fun coming up. New faces, lots of changes, because you know what? This isn't the Smashville that made a miracle run to the Cup. The Nashville that NHL, you know, announcers love to talk about visiting all the time. No. That was an era of Nashville hockey where they were growing, trying to prove themselves. Now they're a bona fide, excellent NHL franchise, in my opinion. They do so much right here in Nashville. And yes, we may disagree, you know, some of us more than others, with a lot of what's been going on, but it's never been a better time to be a Nashville Predators fan. There's so much hope in the future. And if you're a Milwaukee Admirals fan, continue doing what you're doing. You have been a successful franchise. You are a premier AHL franchise. And I urge all of you guys to watch just a little bit more. Get out of your comfort zone. Watch the Admirals. Watch some ECHL games. Get up at 3 in the morning so you can watch some games happening in Sweden or in Russia for some of your favorite prospects. There's a lot to be excited about, and folks, it's been 4 years, almost to the day, since I started covering the Nashville Predators over at On the Forecheck. It's been almost 300 episodes here at the Renegades of Puck with Charlie. But there's going to be so much to look forward to, and I cannot wait for that. So let's take a couple weeks off, breathe, watch some fun hockey in the Stanley Cup Finals, and, I'll see you here for the 2023-2024 season, because guess what? It's coming up soon. So I'll see you at the draft. then development camp, and probably at the NHL Awards, even though UC Saros got robbed. Until then, this has been Brian at the Renegades Analytics Desk, and it's a and this has been this version of One Big Stat. Back to you, Charlie.
The digital environment can be quite intimidating, time-consuming, and cumbersome, especially with all those other areas that need attention at your business. And that's why Stripe Digital Solutions is here to help. I know, because that's exactly what Stripe Digital Solutions did for me and the Renegades of Puck. From designing my home website and helping me create my merchandise to special event posters, brand building, and social media management. But it's not just that. It's so much more. Stripe Digital Solutions has helped me every step of the way. From startup to full-time operation, Stripe Digital Solutions has been there to assist and advise every single step of the journey. In today's fast-paced world, the path to success is having a strong digital partner, and nobody is better in the trenches than Brandy and Stripe Digital Solutions. Get the solution before it's even a problem with Stripe Digital Solutions. When it comes to the box score for the Admirals, Michael McCarron picked up a goal. Igor Afanasyev picks up a goal that was switched from Willsby to Afanasyev a little bit later on. Sherwood also picks up a goal in the assists column. Del Geizo, Spencer Stastny, also Phil Tomasino, Austin Rushev, Adam Willsby, Joachim Kemmel, all with assists, shots on goal. Joachim Kemmel leads the team with 6. Ratcliffe had 4. Sherwood also had 4 shots on net. Not a whole lot to report from the box score. 17 out of 21 was Cooley overall. That performance is not one you want to write home about. Lots of other stats to get to, though, before we close out this particular segment on the box score. Let's wrap up the series. Shots on goal for this series. Coachella Valley ended up out shooting Milwaukee through 6 games, 173-70. When it comes to the special teams, the Admirals' power play actually converted less than they had in either of the previous rounds or in the regular season. 4 out of 22 in the 6 games, and Coachella Valley was 2 out of 21 on the power play. When it comes to the penalty kill, this is one unit that absolutely deserves to be praised for what they were able to do. Coachella Valley, the most high-powered offense in the AHL, with all the top 5 leading scorers in the Calder Cup playoffs, all on the Coachella Valley Firebirds, and the Admirals were able to shut down their power play 19 out of 21 times. Their PK unit was exceptional. Coachella Valley, 18 out of 22, did enough to keep them in the series. So in special teams battle, the Admirals did not perform at a bad level, but just not enough to get past the Coachella Valley Firebirds. When it comes to the final statistics for the Milwaukee Admirals, Luke Evangelista ended up leading the team in scoring in the Calder Cup playoffs, but he sputtered out a little bit in the final round here. 4 goals, 11 assists for 15 points. Del Geizo, 4-8 for 12. Afanasyev, 5 goals and 6 assists for 11 points. Sherwood, 4-7 for 11. Gross, unfortunately, he was having such a good playoff. His injury, who knows what could have happened if he could have stayed healthy and remained in, but still finishes tied for 3rd on the team in scoring 2 goals, 9 assists for 11 points. Kemmel led the team with 8 goals plus 2 assists for 10 points. Phil Tomasino finishes the playoffs with 9 points. Willsby with 8. Jankowski with 8. McCarron with 7. And Sanford with 7. In net, Cooley finishes with a 2-2 record, a 9-1-6 save percentage, 2.29 goals against average, giving up 9 goals against in the 4 games that he played. Yaroslav Askarov went 6-6 in the 12 games that he played, 9.03 save percentage, 2.70 goals against average, 315 saves on 349 shots against, 34 goals against. Unfortunately for Yaroslav Askarov, he did not finish the series as he had to be benched after game 2 of the Western Conference Final. Simply too chaotic back there for the rookie netminder, allowing soft goals, making bad decisions, turnovers. It was the right call for Carl Taylor, and it will, in the long run, go a long way to helping Askarov reach that next level that we all know he has the potential. One more year in the AHL, another Calder Cup run, and perhaps he is the guy to carry the team all the way through. But he was not the guy, and Cooley clearly got the team back into it. So that's a big-time decision by Carl Taylor right there. And now you've got to wonder, with the Nashville Predators hiring a coach in Andrew Brunette and not choosing to elevate Carl Taylor, as we have made the case for on this show a number of times, you've got to wonder, does Carl Taylor have any future with the Nashville Predators organization? He is definitely going to be a hot commodity when it comes to coaching circles. Now, I do have a theory on where Carl Taylor will end up. It's not going to be with the Milwaukee Admirals any longer, and I'll get to that here in just a moment, right after this. For the Milwaukee Admirals, it was a strong run in the Calder Cup playoffs, a stronger run than they've had in quite some time. Last year, winning their first series in many years over the Manitoba Moose, this year following up under the leadership of Carl Taylor and under a whole lot of different prospects and different circumstances, the Admirals were able to get through the second round versus Manitoba, winning a Game 5. They were able to get through the third round against the Texas Stars, also winning a Game 5. Impressive stuff. Conference finals, making it all the way to a Game 6 where they had never been before. And if they could have gotten just a little bit better play in the first two games of the series, who knows? We could be easily heading towards a Game 7 and maybe beyond. But for the Milwaukee Admirals, a very good run this year. Finished in second place, had their roster picked apart by the parent club throughout the season due to dismantling, trades, and injuries, and were still able to maintain a level of sufficient consistency to finish in second place just behind the Texas Stars. Now, the experience is incredibly valuable. So many of these different prospects and so many of these players got an opportunity to play significant time at the parent club level and then make a significant run in the Calder Cup playoffs. 20 games at the NHL level, 16 games in the Calder Cup playoff level, plus most of a season at the AHL level with the Milwaukee Admirals. That experience is just incredibly valuable, and that also adds into the evaluation period for the brand new general manager, Barry Trotz. We know that the organization had been ferrying the prospects and the office and the team back and forth all throughout the AHL playoffs. Barry Trotz been keeping a close eye on what's going on, everything with the Milwaukee Admirals and a lot of these players that hope to have a future with the Nashville Predators. Now, Barry Trotz has a draft with a wealth load of capital, a free agency period, and now an entire AHL season to look back on to make the determinations on what he wants to do as his first moves as the GM of the Nashville Predators. Clearly, if he was wanting to raid the cupboard, as they say, and move some prospects out of Milwaukee, there are plenty of quality options that just put quite the resume out there and could bring significant returns for the Nashville Predators. More likely, the Predators and Barry Trotz will look to bring these players up and continue their maturation process through training camp. I think the next training camp for the Nashville Predators is the most significant training camp since the first training camp 25 years ago. I think that the competition is going to be otherworldly. Cannot wait to be there covering every second of it. And for the Admirals, there is a bittersweet moment because on this show, we have made the case for Carl Taylor to be elevated to the Nashville Predators head coaching job. We knew that John Hines was not going to survive this offseason. And after John Hines was fired and the opening remained sitting there for a while, it seemed as if Carl Taylor was possibly going to get elevated. The team spoke with Carl Taylor in Coachella Valley during the conference finals and apparently interviewed him before making the announcement that the Nashville Predators would be hiring Andrew Brunette. Now, I believe that Carl Taylor is a future head coach in the NHL and will be looking to move on from his current position as head coach of the Milwaukee Admirals. There is one middle ground that I have noticed, and I can't help but get stuck in my head and think about it. There's one spot left for an assistant coach on the Nashville Predators. After the coaching releases, the coaching hires, the coaching changes, Andrew Brunette has been brought in. Dan Hinote is still one of the assistant coaches. There is an assistant coach position open on the bench for the Nashville Predators. I believe that Carl Taylor will be elevated to that position by Barry Trotz, and that will be the final step for Carl Taylor before he becomes a head coach at the NHL level. I do not think it will be with the Nashville Predators because if Andrew Brunette has any success over the first 2 years here, his assistant coaches will definitely be targeted and rated, especially when everybody's been keeping their eye on Carl Taylor. There are still some NHL jobs out there and available, but I do not believe the New York Rangers are going to name Carl Taylor as their head coach as his first ever head coaching job when the New York Rangers are looking to find that next experienced coach to get them to the next level of the conference final and the Stanley Cup final. But Carl Taylor is definitely a coach on the rise, and I think that that final assistant coaching spot on the Nashville Predators bench and staff is going to go to Carl Taylor, and I believe we'll find that out here very shortly. Very much looking forward to that. I would love Carl Taylor to get an opportunity to be an assistant and to move up to advance his career. It's unfortunate that he won't get the opportunity to be the head coach of the Nashville Predators, but I think Andrew Brunette is going to turn out to be a very good and strong hire as Barry Trotz's first hire as head coach. Now promote Carl Taylor to assistant and keep Dan Hinote, and you have a very strong coaching staff to help manage these prospects. Let's not forget, a lot of Carl Taylor's players from this season are going to be what forms the core of the Nashville Predators going forward the next couple of years. It would be a perfect spot for Carl Taylor to land on the bench as an assistant coach with the Nashville Predators. That's going to do it for all of our Game 6 and all of our Western Conference Finals coverage. We will be back with one more episode dedicated fully to the Milwaukee Admirals. We'll recap their full playoff run. We'll recap all of the stats and everything that happened with them. We'll have discussion. We'll get all the Renegades of Puck back in, and then we'll pivot back to Nashville Predators coverage. We've got the draft. We've got the award show. We've got free agency all coming up, and Nashville is going to be a critical part and the center of a lot of these different things. That's going to do it for Operation Number 770. I appreciate your time. I appreciate your viewership, and most importantly, I appreciate each and every one of you. I'm your host and Captain Crazy Charlie Sonia from a very, very sweltery bunker. Stick taps, love, and respect.